Let us pray. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. That beautiful prayer is attributed to St. Francis. Now, some scholars dispute whether he wrote it or not, but I think that's somewhat immaterial because the truth is we know that he lived this prayer with his life. He was born in Assisi, Italy, in 1182. And his given name was not Francis, it was actually Giovanni. And his mom named him Giovanni after John the Baptist. Now, his dad wasn't happy about that. His dad was away on business when he was born, and he didn't want his son to be a man of God. He wanted him to be a man of business, actually a cloth merchant, just like he was. So he renamed Giovanni with the name of Francesco, or Francis, because of his love for the country of France. His father was a very wealthy businessman. Francis, as he grew up, he became very charming and charismatic, and he too became a very successful businessman. He enjoyed a very good life, one with wealth and all that the wealth offered. However, he began dreaming as a young person of something a little different. He wanted something more from his life than just dealing in fine cloth. He wanted to be a knight. Now, that might surprise us. We might not have expected that, to know that about Francis, but it's true. When Assisi, the town in which he lived, declared war on the neighboring town Perugia, Francis went to war. Now, unfortunately, most of the troops from Assisi were killed right away. Only those who were wealthy enough to afford a ransom were spared, and they were thrown into a dungeon until their ransom could be paid. So Francis stayed for a whole year in that dungeon until his father was able to pay the ransom. And after the ransom was paid, his dream of being a knight didn't fade. He got a second chance during the Fourth Crusade. His father bought him a horse, which every knight needed, and a suit of armor. And only the finest armor would do for his son. It was inlaid with gold and had a beautiful cloak. But Francis actually didn't make it more than a day's journey away from Assisi, because that night he had a dream. And in that dream, God was telling him that there was something more for Francis, that he was to return home. So Francis returned home. He was not welcomed home as a hero. As a matter of fact, he was mocked and ridiculed. He was called a coward, and his father was furious. Here he had spent a small fortune on this suit of armor, and Francis was back home wanting more. Well, Francis worked very hard to repay his father and devoted himself to prayer. He wanted to know, what was this more that God was calling him to? And one day, while he was riding through the countryside on business, he saw a man with leprosy. Leprosy was a disease that affected not just the skin, but also your limbs. And his limbs were all disfigured. Francis got off his horse, and he approached the man. He took his hands, his withered hands, and gave him the kiss of peace. And then when that kiss of peace was returned to Francis, he was filled with so much joy that he had never known before. When he got back on his horse eventually and headed back towards home, he turned around to wave one more time at this man who had touched his heart and his life so deeply. But there was no one. The man had disappeared. So Francis always thought this experience came from God. So he prayed harder because he thought, God is trying to show me and teach me something. Well, while he was praying at the church in San Damiano, Francis heard Christ speak to him from the cross, from the crucifix that was in the church. And what he heard was he heard Jesus say, "Repair my church." Francis couldn't help but notice that the church building was crumbling. The bricks were falling. It was in poor condition. So he took fabric from his father's shop, and he sold it to get money to repair the church. Once again, his father was furious. He saw this as an act of theft. And he wasn't sure what to do with this son that he didn't understand anymore. So he dragged Francis in front of the bishop, in front of the whole town. And he made him, to make him return the money, and to renounce all of his rights as the heir to his father's wealth. The bishop told Francis that he was to return the money that he took from his father. Because if God was speaking to him, God would provide for him. So Francis gave back the money, and while he was at it, he started taking off all the layers of clothes he had on, because it was winter, until he got down to a very thin undershirt, because his father had given him all of what he was wearing. He stated publicly, "This man is no longer my father. From now on, I can say with complete freedom, our Father who art in heaven." And then the story goes that Francis went off into the freezing woods, because it was winter time, singing. From then on, Francis had nothing. And yet he felt like he had everything he truly needed. So he went around and he begged for stones to rebuild the church. And he did so with his own hands. And as he was completing his work, he began to wonder and reflect, maybe God wasn't so much talking about repairing the church as a building, although that was work that needed to be done. Maybe God was telling him to repair the church as in the people. So Francis began preaching. He started preaching about God's love and forgiveness. He started encouraging people to follow Christ with their lives. And they began listening. They were seeking God and wanting to follow this life of simplicity and joy that Francis was living. And as more and more people began listening and following, Francis knew he needed some more direction. So he turned to a great source of guidance and direction, and he opened his Bible. And he read from the gospel. As Jesus was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Jesus said to him, Teacher, I have kept all these things since my youth. Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, You lack one thing. Go sell what you own and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. When he heard this, he was shocked and he went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were perplexed at these words, but Jesus said to them again, Children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were greatly astounded and said to one another, Then who can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, For mortals, it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible. Peter began to say to Jesus, Look, we have left everything and followed you. Jesus said, Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news who will not receive 100-fold now in this age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and fields with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. In these words of Christ, Francis found freedom. He discovered the way to life, abundant life in Christ. To not allow our possessions or anything else possess us, but to be free, to joyfully follow the gospel and to serve one another in loving community. A family living together as God's family, a family that includes not only all people from all walks of life, but also includes all of creation. Francis understood. Jesus warns about wealth because it has a way of insulating us from others and from God. When we're able to meet all of our own needs, we start to think we can do it on our own and that we don't need each other, that maybe we don't even need God. That what we have is ours. We worked for it. We deserve it. And so we preserve it, and then we reserve it only for ourselves. Wealth makes us forget that what we have is God's. Forget to live as a community where members support and care for each other. Forget to reach out from not just the people who are gathered here as a community, but the people who are not here, especially those in need. Wealth has a way of making us forget to value the people who are around us more than we value the possessions, the things that we have. We forget to live together on this earth as the family of God. Now, this may be a surprise to some of you, but I have discovered in my own life that being a family is hard, isn't it? It's not always easy. No, okay, thank you. At least one person agrees with that. We don't always work together, do we? Even the best of families, intentionally or not, even with the best intentions, there can be conflict. We can, instead of working together, work against one another. I believe on this day of St. Francis, of remembering him and his life, that we're challenged. We're challenged to remember. To remember that what we have is God's. To remember to use what we have and who we are to care for and support one another. To use what we have and who we are to reach out to those who aren't here, especially those in need. To share the things of God. To be instruments of peace, offering those things of God like forgiveness and faith and hope and light and joy, consolation, understanding, and love. Because in the face of the things like hunger and hurt and hatred, in the midst of things like doubt and despair and darkness, it is the things of God that bring us together as broken people and unite us as the family of God. Francis believed what Jesus taught and lived in his life, that there is unity in living together as a loving and giving community. To us as human beings, that might seem impossible. But with God, all things are possible. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would make us instruments of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, and it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.